Welcome to Southern FM, Kirby.
Morning, Andrew.
I understand that there's about 7,000 trackable objects in orbit around the Earth, and many, perhaps tens of thousands of tiny objects smaller than that that can't be tracked, such as flecks of paint and so on. Don't they pose an incredible risk for satellites?
That's right. It's really the smaller pieces of debris which are the real problem. The large trackable ones, because they're trackable, can be avoided in most cases. It's the small debris that is the real concern. In fact, something as small as a couple of millimetres across, travelling at orbital velocity, has really the same kinetic energy as a bowling ball travelling at 100 miles an hour. And you can imagine what kind of damage that will do to a relatively fragile satellite or space shuttle or space station or whatever piece of equipment in space.
So people's pictures of a derelict satellite coming and hitting the shuttle or something isn't quite the right picture. They really should be thinking of something much smaller.
That's right. Something as big as a satellite can usually be parked or moved. And even if it can't be moved, then you can navigate around it. You can track it fairly easily and you'll have plenty of warning and plenty of time to move about it. The orbital debris, which is left, these small pieces in the millimetre or even small centimetre range, are spread all around low Earth orbit, and hence the whole environment is relatively unsafe in some senses. I mean, I'm not saying that every space shuttle is at dire risk, but there's a good deal of this debris around, and there's not a great deal that you can do about it other than having some idea of where the worst clouds of debris will be.
So where does this debris come from then?
It's formed from a number of different sources, principally the expended stages from launch vehicles. In the past, there has been a series of relatively mysterious explosions of stages in space. Once the launch vehicle has burnt the fuel inside the launch vehicle stage, it's just left in orbit, or it burns up re-entering the Earth. Some of these stages that are left floating in space have quite inexplicably, after maybe months, in some cases years, exploded, producing sizable amounts of debris. The problem is, once you've had a couple of these explosions, you've got lots of pieces of debris flying in different orbits, which can then at later stages run into each other, producing yet more pieces of debris. Obviously getting smaller all the time, but as I say, even when something as small as a couple of millimetres has so much energy, it's quite a concern.
And so the insurer, for example, would obviously need to know how much debris was there. How do they get the advice on how much is there? Is there any company, for example, that can advise them?
Strange that you should ask that, Andrew. Yes, Spaceguard is a company based in Adelaide, of which I'm one of its directors. Spaceguard essentially provides an orbital debris hazard analysis service. Quite a fancy name, really, for just saying that we can tell people what the risk to their satellite is of being struck by debris. We're actually teamed up with a company in the US called Command Sciences Corporation, and their specialty is assessing the impact effect from debris. So between the two of us, we can assess not only the risk to a satellite of being struck, but also what the likely effect will be of being struck. And that's obviously pertinent to a satellite operator. If a satellite is struck in the solar panels, it might degrade the performance of the satellite a small amount. If it's struck in a fuel cell, you've probably just said goodbye to your satellite, and hence that's quite pertinent.
Have any satellites been collided in space, either deliberately or accidentally?
The only actual collisions in space that have been deliberate are related to the Strategic Defence Initiative. The Soviets have collided satellites with their own sort of satellite, vehicles that they have designed to knock satellites down. The Americans, with the Strategic Defence Initiative, I believe, have done some very, very limited sort of tests of that nature. But by and large, nobody is now keen to be producing any more debris in space if it can be avoided. And in fact, steps have been taken now to correct the situation where those expended stages were exploding in space.
And so when the SDI, the Strategic Defence Initiative satellites collided, presumably they were totally disintegrated.
That's right, and they were fairly small test vehicles rather than large satellites. There was a bit of an uproar a year or so back when a satellite that had been in use previously but was relatively dormant, though still with some scientific functions, was actually used as a test for that kind of collision. But by and large, there wasn't a great deal of debris produced from that, as far as we know.
That was the Solwind satellite, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe it was.
Does the risk from debris vary with altitude as you go up? Most of the commercial satellites these days go about 36,000 kilometres above the Earth into what's called geostationary orbit. Does the risk vary as you go up towards that orbit?
Yes, it's a fairly stark difference between the low Earth orbits and geosynchronous orbit. Low Earth orbit is the one that's sort of crammed with the debris. Geosynchronous orbit is relatively clear. Of course, it's slowly filling up with communication satellites, but that's not the kind of debris problem yet. You do, of course, have satellites going in geotransfer orbit, which takes them from low Earth orbit up into a high Earth orbit, but brings them back down through low Earth orbit again until their orbit is stabilized in geosynchronous orbit. That will present a problem in the sense that the satellite is still coming back down through the low Earth orbit and hence through the large debris areas. But by and large, they only spend a very short time in that kind of transfer orbit. So you're definitely much safer in a geosynchronous orbit. And of course, there are very few satellites travelling in low Earth orbit, principally some remote sensing satellites. The space shuttles, of course, travel in low Earth orbit, and the Freedom Space Station would travel in a low Earth orbit, as does Mir.
And what about, I remember in the old days you read science fiction stories and there was always this enormous risk from micrometeorites, from meteors entering the Earth from outer space. Are they a real risk to satellites, or was that just a thing of the 50s?
It's definitely a real risk. Space Guard is now looking more at the risk from micrometeorites. We're in fact looking at doing some studies for the US government in relation to the space station, and they're obviously taking it quite seriously. I think people are realising that there are micrometeorites out there all the time. There are some times that are worse than others, and there are of course the near-Earth passing asteroids which come by every so often, which could cause considerable problems, but they're not the kind of thing really that Space Guard looks at.
Right. Now, as we've just said, most of the commercial satellites these days are placed into geostationary orbit. They seem to have lifetimes initially of 5 to 7 years, now up to 15 years or so. Once that lifetime is gone, presumably they're derelicts. Now, do they present a hazard just still sitting there in that same orbit? What's being done about those satellites these days?
By and large, they don't present a problem, because usually the satellite will have some station-keeping ability, in which case it will be moved to a safe orbit. It will be pushed either out or in from the main satellite lanes. As the decade progresses, I expect we will see a small orbital transfer vehicle or orbital manoeuvring vehicle come onto the scene. And there's a reasonable likelihood then that satellites will be salvaged and possibly be refurbished, in which case the problem will be solved completely. It doesn't mean to say, though, that a satellite could malfunction in such a way that it becomes almost a rogue satellite. And in fact, the Superbird A satellite has suffered substantial loss of control in the last few months. And there's been some speculation that if they kept testing the satellite, they may in fact lose control of it completely. And in that circumstance, I'm not sure that anybody knows exactly what might happen with it.
I see. Now, Australia doesn't maintain a satellite tracking service as such, unlike the United States and the Soviet Union, which maintain extensive tracking networks. How does Space Guard get its information on what's up there?
We've developed most of our software and the models from infalling debris, being able to track ionisation trails of infalling debris, and that has been done through some defence radar facilities and other means. And basically we're able to work backwards from the trails of this debris to work out what orbits it's come from, and also try to correlate that information with the likely sources of debris, such as a particular stage that has blown up.
So a satellite re-entering Earth's atmosphere ionises it, much like a meteorite does, and that ionisation trail, this plasma, or a gas which has lost electrons or gained electrons, reflects radar.
As I understand it, I'm not a technical director of Space Garden, but that's my understanding of the situation.
I see. Well, thank you for joining us today on Southern FM.
It's always a pleasure to speak to you, Andrew.